Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q3 FY25 earnings conference call of Reflex Industries Limited, hosted by Kirin Advisors Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Sameeksha Ramteke from Kirin Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you. On behalf of Kirin Advisors, I welcome you all to the conference call of Reflex Industries Limited. From management team, we have Mr. Anil Jain, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Dinesh Agarwal, Full-time Director and CFO. Now, I hand over the call to Mr. Anil Jain. Over to you, sir.
Thank you so much. Good evening, everyone, and a very warm welcome to Reflex Industries Q3 and 9-month FY25 earnings conference call. Over the years, Reflex Industries has transformed into a diversified and resilient organization, consistently embracing innovation and sustainability at its core. First and foremost, I want to extend my heartfelt greetings to all of you on the occasion of the 76th Republic Day. It's a privilege to address you all as we collectively contribute to India's growth story. Before diving into the financial highlights, let me take a moment to reflect on some of the significant milestones that have defined our journey this quarter, including a few material business highlights till today. Performance highlights. Turning our attention to the company's financial performance for Q3 and 9-month FY25, I'm delighted to share that we have achieved robust growth across all business segments, underscoring the resilience and strength of our diversified business model. Let me start off with standalone results. Total income for Q3 FY25 stood at 733.48 crores, reflecting a growth of 140.71% year-on-year. For 9-month FY25, the total income increased to 1,853.44 crores, showcasing a year-on-year growth of 77.7%. Net profit for Q3 FY25 surged by 200.12% to 59.04 crores. For 9-month FY25, net profit increased by 103.58% to 132.31 crores. Earnings per share basic for Q3 FY25 stood at 4.7, up 162.56%, while for 9-month FY25, it is at 11 rupees, reflecting a growth of 86.44%. Next, we move on to the consolidated results. Consolidated total income for Q3 FY25 has reached 741.92 crores and 139.97% growth compared to the previous year. For 9-month FY25, it grew to 1,874.14 crores, up 78.38% year-on-year. Consolidated net profit for Q3 FY25 rose to 52.05 crores, up 198.1%, and 9-month FY25, it increased by 85.98% to 110.46 crores. Overall, the coal and ash handling business segment remains strong force behind the growth of Reflex Industries, contributing to about 1,643 crores in 9-month FY25 and 683 crores in FY25 Q3 alone. Green mobility is contributing to 22.2 crores for 9-month FY25, highlighting the company's focus on sustainable and future-focused business initiatives. Green mobility has also entered into a strategic arrangement with Gensol Engineering Limited to take over 2,997 e-cars from Gensol and then lease it to Blue Smart. As we chart the path forward, our focus is firmly on capitalizing our core strengths with an unrelenting commitment to innovation, sustainability, and operational excellence. Reflex is poised to lead India's green transformation and drive meaningful change in the industries we serve. Every milestone we achieve stands as a testament to the trust and confidence of all our stakeholders and the unwavering commitment and dedication of our exceptional team. Together, we are shaping a future defined by growth, resilience, and a shared vision for a sustainable tomorrow. Thank you for your continued support, trust, and encouragement. Today, together, we are confident in building a path forward for long-term growth and consistent value creation. Thank you so much. I look forward to engaging in a discussion ahead with all of you. We can now open for question marks, please.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask questions may press star and one on their touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking questions. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. To ask questions, please press star and one. The first question is from Krishna Chaudhary, who's an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir. Am I audible?
Yeah, not very clear, but yeah, we can try and manage.
Okay, I'll try to be a bit more clear, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. And I have a few questions, sir. So, first of all, I would like to ask about the ash and coal handling business. In the previous con call, sir, we had mentioned that we had completed about 5 million tons of handling in H1. And the full year guidance was 18 million. So, that comes to about 13 million for H2. So, I would like to know, sir, out of the 13 million, how much have we achieved in Q3? And what is the estimate, if you could give, for Q4?
See, these are the strategic information. I'll give you on the data on this. We have completed 8.5 million tons of the work, and we'll cross this year more than a 10 million.
Okay, so for Q3 we have done about 8.5 million tons, right?
Yes.
Okay, and the we'll surpass the given target also. That's great, sir. That's great. And as I saw your presentation, sir, you have also increased the daily handling capacity from 50,000 to 70,000, sir. So,
yes.
Sir, have we added new customers, new sites, and is this sustainable, sir, in the coming quarters?
Yes, this is the current quarter is a peak season, and it is sustainable.
Okay, great, sir. And sir, I would also like to know that we have been able to increase our revenues in the segment a lot, sir. But the margins, sir, they are not increasing as generally when you increase revenues, the operational leverage also kicks in. But in our case, the margin has been stable to a little low, sir. Is there any reason for that? And can we expect some improvement in the coming quarters?
We have started a lot of new plants. And initially, when we start a new plant, there is a mobilization of team happening before the real work starts in the plant. That is the reason overhead and other expenses will be more in the initial time, which is get amortized once the full-fledged work happens. So initially, the cost which is incurred in the setting up of the new plant, I mean, starting up the new work at each of the new plants, because of that margin is swing drop in the cost.
Okay, sir. And since you put in initial investments, sir, so these would be long-term contracts, like how many years, if you could give a rough idea, sir?
Anywhere between 1 to 3 years.
Okay, sir. Thank you. And secondly, I have a question regarding the EV green mobility business of ours, sir. So as you see, sir, yes, sir. So in this quarter, sir, the loss has increased from 5 crores to 8 crores, sir. So, I just wanted to know, sir, when can we expect it to positively contribute to a net profit, sir, this segment?
So, I think with the increase of number of vehicles, the time taken to get 100% utilization of each vehicle takes almost 6 months. So, as we are increasing the vehicle, we foresee this loss to happen at least for next few quarters. While operationally we are profitable, but at level we are making loss. But in the next few quarters, we'll achieve profitability, sir.
Okay, sir. Thank you. And the recent acquisition of, sir, about 3,000 EVs from Blue Smart, sir. So just I wanted to know, what is your idea regarding how would we monetize them? Would we rent them out to Blue Smart, or will we use them for our own brand EVs? So what would be the monetization?
So they are a very strategic long-term drive operational lease model where we have taken all the vehicles from Gensol and we'll be giving it to Blue Smart on a drive per month basis lease to us, sir. Hello.
Thank you. The next question is from Nishant Gupta from Minerva Global Capital. Please go ahead.
Hey, so thank you for the opportunity.
So just wanted to understand, what is the rationale of, you know, getting more CapEx heavy on the EV acquisition from Denso? Like, so basically, you know, leveraging your company and giving the OpEx benefit to Blue Smart. So, what is the rationale of, you know, acquiring that fleet, and what is the kind of IRR that you are expecting? And are these like the new cars that you have received from them, or these were used and, you know, it has got transferred at a lower price than the, you know, the retail?
So currently the vehicles are transferred at the book value to us. It's basically an inorganic expansion of our fleet. We're also looking at taking over the operations of these fleet going forward. Slowly, we're going to start off with one city in a small number, and our long-term aim is to convert this into completely operational fleet under us. Just looking at the long-term drive, once the financial approval comes, we'll be able to come back on the what is the IRR we are making on this. Currently, it is still under negotiation because the financial transfer has to still happen.
Got it, sir. And sir, you have taken 315 crore of bank loan for this. So is there any part of internal accrual that will also go for funding this, you know, acquisition of 2997 EVs?
No, currently we're just taking over the loan fully. There'll be a 40 crores of equity infusion in this, apart from the debt.
Okay. Got it. And how long is the tenure with the Blue Smart that you have negotiated in this?
5 years.
5 years. Okay. So the next question is on the Torrent solar power. So this wind power project, what is the total amount that you'll be receiving from Torrent Power? You mentioned the megawatt, you know, but the contract size is not mentioned in INR crore.
I think that number is, we are not supposed to disclose that, the value, only the megawatt is to be disclosed. The term sheet does not allow us to disclose the value, sir.
Okay, that's fair, sir. But you'll be executing it by 16th April 26. So the invoicing and the receipt of payment, I believe, would be, you know, by maximum by what, May, June of 26, or you know that will, that might extend later.
Can you repeat, please?
Yeah, sir. I'm saying from the invoicing point of view, whatever, you know, the amount that you'll be receiving. So you will be completing this project by 16th April 26, which is mentioned in the documents. So when will you be receiving the you know, the payments from this?
No, this will be completed only by March next year. April next
yes.
year, sorry.
Sir, I understand. But I'm just trying to understand, how will the cash flows look like? Like, is it kind of a lumpy payment which will come after the, you know, the project is delivered in full, or you'll be receiving some milestone payment? That is
there multiple cash flow point of view. So there are multiple milestones. The first payment will start coming in from September this year.
Okay, from September onward it will come. But is it like safe to say that a majority of it will come after the project is completed?
Yeah, it is in a phased manner. I would not say majority. At every stage wise, there are various payment milestones. There are totally about 7-8 milestones for every stage that the payment which will be coming.
Okay. Got it. So one final question. So, you know, more from a long-term perspective, not on a quarterly guidance, but more from a long-term perspective, where can we see the growth rate in the top line and the revenues to and the margins to stabilize?
So I think on the ash and coal handling, the revenues will keep growing going forward because we are having a lot of contracts in hand. And we also see margins getting better over there, sir.
Okay. Sir, any comment on the number? Like, because margins have been, you know, up and down. So maybe 10-11% is something we can see in the long term, EBITDA margin to pan out?
Yeah, around that.
Okay. Fine, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Rahul Gupta, who's an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Sir, my question is, what role does technology play in the research green mobility's operation, particularly in providing the EV services to corporates and aggregator platforms?
So basically, the technology helps us to scale up quickly, and we have our own in-house tech team, which is building this platform. Basically, the telematics is built in-house. So technology plays a very important role in growth, sir.
And then my next question is, can you provide the insights for the future research and development initiatives under the Venwind Reflex Power Limited, and how will it align with our renewable energy focus?
Yeah, so we are still in the process of developing a plan for R&D. So hopefully in the next 2 quarters, we'll be able to give a clear projection on what are the R&D plans for us. Sir.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you. Next question is from Vignesh Iyer from Sequent Investments. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir, and congratulations on a very strong set of numbers. So my question is on, you know, the fleet acquisition that we did from Gensol and, you know, gave it to Bluesmart to operate. So a few things I wanted to know. So if I understand, we have our own business, right, EVs, which we run. So what is the rationale of running the fleet on our own, you know, vis-a-vis giving it to Bluesmart? Is our IRR coming out to be really good when we are giving it on lease to Bluesmart?
So we are a pure B2B player. Even in our regular EVs, we don't have any. Other than the Bangalore airport, which we do B2C, all our other fleet is deployed for B2B. So even Bluesmart is a very strategic B2B option for us, where we have taken over the fleet from Gensol and giving it to Bluesmart on a B2B basis, where we have a fixed revenue from this fleet. It is up to Bluesmart to get customer acquisition, operate, and etc.
Okay, got it. Okay, sir, that's all from my side. I'll get to the queue.
Thank you.
Next question is from Dipesh Sancheti from Mania Finance. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Am I audible?
Yeah.
Okay. What are the growth drivers ahead for the company? For the next year.
Sorry, can you repeat please?
I'm saying, what are the growth drivers for the company for the next year?
Yeah, like I mentioned that ash and coal is going to be our focus. We already have multiple orders in hand and we'll be growing business over there. And apart from that, EV fleet also is going to grow. As I mentioned earlier, this year by March we'll complete about 4,800 vehicles. So both the sectors will grow for us for next year also.
You said ash as well as EV sector, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And I think recently we raised a capital from a number of investors. What has been the utilization so far?
So this has been utilized for the regular business, both in working capital and the capex requirement for vehicle EVs, etc.
So we haven't reduced any debt or anything with this.
Yeah, we reduced 150 crores of working capital.
150 crores of working capital is reduced.
Yeah.
Okay. Because the ROE and what is the ROE expectation of the company going ahead? Maybe in FY27, will we get back to our 30% kind of levels, or we will be still in the same? Right now, what we are doing?
Can you repeat that? I think you're breaking up completely. You said ROE, right?
Yes, I was asking about the ROE.
Yeah, you mean for which year? Current year?
No, I'm talking about ROE for FY26 and FY27. What is the expectation of the company?
I think we will be growing around FY27. We could be somewhere around 20-22% ROE. Sir.
20-22%. So we don't see ROE again coming back to the FY23 levels of 30-35%.
No, because the business growth is upset. If you see the PAT levels are growing. And the order side and the revenue side also has increased a lot. Capital side also has increased a lot. Capital base.
And the PAT margins also we expect at around 7-7.5% only going ahead.
I think it will go up to 10% going forward, between 8-10%.
Between 8-10%. So what are the challenges which we see going ahead? are there any particular challenges in terms of environmental clearance or any other things which we see?
No, I think scale is the only challenge for us, because with the number of contracts growing, we have to really build a strong team to scale. We don't have any environmental issues, etc. We are the company who are helping the power plants achieve the environmental compliance. For us, scale is the only challenge.
Scale is the only challenge. So, the orders are there, but only the execution is the main challenge, right?
Yes.
Okay. So, if that is so, what in execution, it's only about the team, or it's also about the money which is going to be needed?
Currently, we have enough money. It is only the team we need to increase now.
Okay, and what are we doing about that?
We've already hired, we have doubled our number of employees in the last 6 months, and hopefully we should be able to hire better people and more people by end of next quarter. Currently, we are at 413 people from 296 last quarter.
Because we've seen a phenomenal sales growth in the ash and coal handling business. Do we see the similar kind of a growth going ahead next year?
Yeah. I think we see better growth going ahead next year.
If you can quantify it in terms of number, I mean, what kind of...
We haven't made any number quantification yet, but yeah, the growth will be good.
Is an expectation of around 20 to 30% of growth will be reasonable?
We cannot comment on that now.
I mean, anywhere around 20%? I mean, is that okay? I mean, or we are expecting more?
No, we have not been making any forward-looking numbers yet. But yeah, we will see how to formalize this and bring it to the shareholders this notice soon.
Okay. So the growth which we have done up till now, will that be in the same lines? I'm just trying to take it out from you in a different way.
Yes. Yeah, we're growing.
Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you. The next question is from Krishna Chaudhary, who's an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. I got connected. Sorry. I just have a follow-up on the coal and ash handling business. So, sir, previously you had mentioned that there is some push from the government regarding disposal of legacy ash also in the water bodies, if I am right. So, is there any update or progress on that, sir?
Sorry, can you repeat your question? We can't hear you.
Sir, previously you had mentioned that there is a push from the government regarding the disposal of legacy ash also in the ponds and water bodies. So, is there any
progress? That rule is still there and it is continuing. There is no change in the rule.
So, have we seen, sir, some on-ground execution of that, sir, if you talk
yes,
about
yes.
that?
It is being seriously implemented by all the power plants, including all the government power plants.
Okay, so we are currently doing that also, sir?
Yes, yes. Because of that, only business is happening.
Okay. Thank you, sir. And, sir, regarding the power trading business, sir, so... why is there so variation in the quarterly numbers? Is it because of the seasonality like factors in that particular segment or what?
We are not focusing more on that now because the margin is too low and we have a good opportunity in other businesses and our concentration is there in the businesses where higher margin is there. Power trading remain will not be a focus further and we will be continuing focusing on the other businesses.
Okay, sir. And regarding the newly incorporated subsidiary, sir, Wenwin Refex Power Limited, so how do we plan to, sir, use that? Like we have already given one-third of the equity to outside partners. So how would be that benefit to our main company, sir, Refex?
No, that is a synergy. And we are both part. That is the reason we have brought a expert into the as a partner, and we'll be working together for growth of division.
Okay, sir. And my last question, sir, like we have multiple businesses, so are we planning some sort of a demerger in the coming years, or have we looked on that, sir?
No, we have not planned anything now, but we'll come back if we ever plan something.
Okay, thank you very much, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from Dipesh Sancheti from Manya Finance. Please go ahead.
Yeah, just a question regarding your segmented results. When I was seeing the segmented results and profit and loss before the interest and tax, there's something mentioned as corporate. If you can just elaborate on that.
Sorry, what? Which one? Can you repeat, please?
In the segmented results of the consolidated one, there is something mentioned number two of corporate.
That is the corporate overhead, which is not allocable to any of the specific segment.
The corporate overhead, right?
Yeah, these are the all corporate expenses, which is not directly identifiable to any segment.
Okay. So, I mean, the sudden increase, can I allocate it to the increase on number of people which you just mentioned?
Yes, multiple factors, number of people, there is a technology advancement is happening, there is a technology expenses, because since we are scaling, there is a development of technology, implementation of new technology is also happening. Because of the people, there is a multiple offices are being set up. Multiple things are there which is not directly identifiable to any specific segment.
Okay. Okay.
And if which is directly identifiable has already been allocated to specific segments.
Okay. And if I can come to your EV business, how does your EV business work? I mean, you take the, you give the cars to Blue Smart and Blue Smart hires it to the corporates. How does the business work?
BlueSmart is a B2C player. We have a B2B business where we give vehicles to large corporates for their employee transportation. We do both technology and the vehicles for that. BlueSmart is a drivers where we have given only vehicles to BlueSmart. They will have their own drivers and operations, and they will do it for B2C. The customer acquisition will be their scope. So for us, it is a B2B2C for BlueSmart. And all of the customers are also direct B2B.
Okay, so B2B clients are ours, right?
Yes.
And BlueSmart, we have a stake in them, and that's where all the B2C happens from the BlueSmart.
No. BlueSmart is also a B2B customer for me. For me, BlueSmart is a customer to whom I am giving vehicles on long-term drive operation lease. I have no obligation to get any customer there. And we don't have any stakes also.
You don't have any stake in BlueSmart?
No.
Hello?
No, we don't have.
Okay, the company does. Company or the promoters don't have any stake in BlueSmart, right?
Yeah, the company doesn't have it.
The company doesn't have. What about the promoters?
Promoters don't have. Promoters, through one of their funds, have a very small stake, which is very negligible, less than 1%.
Less than half a percent. And how do you plan to scale this business?
We are continuously getting more and more B2B customers. So our focus is going to be B2B customers only.
And if you can just mention how long are these contracts? I mean, does the vehicle life?
They are between 1 to 3 years, and BlueSmart is 5 years contract.
1 to 3 years. Okay.
Yeah, B2B contracts are between 1 to 3 years.
1 to 3 years. And what is the margin profile in that?
So it depends. Different customers have different way in which we bill them. Some are trip basis, some are monthly, some are number of hours, number of kilometers. On average, we have close to about 20% gross margin on them.
Yeah, because, I mean, I have something which I was, I mean, since our coal and ash business is doing so well, I mean, why would the company actually go into EV business? And that was one of the questions, that how do we plan to scale it? Because
it is in a subsidiary company, and if this business is growing in a subsidiary company directly. And again, if you look at our coal and ash also, it's a logistics business, where I'm only moving the ash and coal from one place to another, I'm doing the logistics work. Similarly, EV is also a logistics business for me.
People from one place.
Yeah, I mean, it's a complete operational, so the expertise of our operational efficiency can be at both the places. I mean, they are in line with our original business.
So all these big corporates which we give, are we giving them with the drivers, I mean, for handling the stuff, or it's only that we are giving the cars?
No, for all the B2B customers, we have drivers, which we have our own driver, and we operate the cars for them. We do charging, etc., everything for them.
Okay, so basically it's like a fleet management.
Yeah.
Okay. Fine. Thank you so much.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Next question is from Swaraj Gandhi, who's an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you. My first question is, could you provide insight into your capital?
Can't hear you, strategy? Sir.
Hello? Am I audible?
You can't hear you.
Hello, now?
You're not clear.
1 minute. Now, I'm audible.
Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Yeah, you're not very clear. Can you redial, please?
1 minute. Hello, now it's clear.
Mr. Gandhi, if you are on a hands-free, request you to use the handset and try. We can't hear you. You sound very low and muffled.
Oh, okay, okay. Let me check it. Hello, now? Now it's better.
Oh, can you dial in again, please? I think we can't hear you. Sorry. Your voice is very muffled.
Okay, I dial. Now.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, Prince team, can you ask him to dial again? We can't hear anything.
Mr. Gandhi, we request you to rejoin, disconnect and call us back, maybe from a different number. We'll move to the next question. The next question is from Yashwanti from Cogent Finvest. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes.
Am I audible?
Yeah, you're audible.
Basically, I just wanted to know that as you already answered about this market, but then going forward, we just wanted
breaking
to
up. Hello. 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 You're breaking up, please.
Am I audible?
Yeah, you're audible now.
Yeah. So just wanted to understand, the scope in the coal and ash handling, considering the government focus on clearing and also the need of ash by the construction industry. That is one. And secondly, as my previous colleague already asked this question, but then when we can see this margin settling upon 11% or 12% overall?
So as we told earlier also that ash and coal business is something which will continuously happen. Because thermal power plants are here to stay, the coal will be burned, ash will be generated. While there's enough legacy ash for the next few years, regularly ash is being again generated and not being able to dispose of on time, they go back and get filled into those ponds. So this business, I think, will be sustainable and continuously growing from here on for us. The margins, I think, in the next 1 or 2 years will get settled between 8% to 10% for us.
Okay, so we are looking only up to the 10% and we're exceeding beyond 10% as we are already in earlier quarters we have reported, sir.
Sorry,
earlier
quarters
it was reported.
Yeah.
Okay, that's it from my side. All rest of the questions should already answer. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Next question is from Dipesh Sancheti from Manya Finance. Please go ahead.
Couple of follow-up questions, one, are we planning to take the EV business pan-India?
Yes, we're currently operating in Bangalore, Hyderabad, Chennai, and with Blue Smart, we'll be also at Delhi. We've also started some trial in Pune and Mumbai. Wherever there are large B2B customers, we'll be taking our business over there.
Okay. And about this for the soda, for the coal handling and ash handling, do we have, I mean, are there any listed competitors or are there any competitors for us?
So there are no listed competitors. There's one competitor by name Ashtek, which is an organized player. Apart from that, most of the players are unorganized.
Okay. Ashtek. And otherwise, there's only unorganized players which we are competing with, right?
Yes.
So we pose a significant advantage over there.
Yeah, we have a lot of advantage.
I just wanted to know that.
Sorry?
I mean, what is our mode that we have a significant advantage over the competition?
We have multiple UASP. That is the only reason all the power plants prefer to work with us. One, we are 100% compliances. We take care both with the, in terms of the labor compliances and also other safety compliances with respect to the drivers who operate. And also they are all medical GSI, PF, complete compliances. Then on the technology, we provide also the technology like 100% the GPS for each of the disposal trips. 100% the we have a control center to monitor each of the disposal. We provide all these compliances to each of the power plant where we work, and that is the USP we carry compared to other competitor industry.
So how big is this market of ash and soda handling? And what is the market share right now which we have?
Very, 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 very small. It is one of the large market in earlier call with Mr. Anil has told.
Yeah, I think there are totally over 175 thermal power plants across India, and we are operating in less than about 30 plants currently. And even in these 30 plants, we are like one among those few operators, unorganized there. We are only now entering into these thermal power plants. So the opportunity is very, very large. And again, I think close to about 1.7 million metric tons of legacy ash is available, which has to be disposed of. And every year we are generating close to about 800 million tons of coal is being burned. So close to about 300 million tons of ash is being generated every year.
Wow. Okay. So this is a huge opportunity. Thank you so much. Thank you. That was really helpful. Thank you.
Welcome, sir.
Thank you. Next question is from Mehul Shah from Samarth Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you. My question is, could you provide insight into your capital allocation strategy?
Can you be a little bit louder, please?
Hello now. Now it's louder?
Yeah.
Okay. Now my question is, could you provide insight into your capital allocation strategy, especially with ongoing and upcoming investment in green mobility and power trading?
So, for green mobility, we have assumed we'll be investing close to about, just 1 second. Open the sheet. Can you hear us? Hello?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. So currently, I think we'll be investing close to about 200 crores in our subsidy for electric vehicles and green mobility business. And we require close to about 350 crores of working capital for our ash handling business.
Okay. And how is Refex Green Mobility operationally preparing to integrate the newly acquired like 2997 EVs, and what challenges do you anticipate during this transition?
It's a very clear dry lease, long-term dry lease, dry operation lease with BlueSmart. We don't foresee any challenges in this. It's a clear monthly fixed payment which should be receiving, sir. And it is waiting for financial and regulatory approvals.
Okay. And my last question is, what measures are being taken to improve the efficiency and sustainability of the ash and coal handling segment?
We have become one of the largest organized players in the country today. So I think this business is only going to grow from here. If you can see from earlier last year, we were operating in 4-5 power plants to 36 power plants, but it still can show the kind of growth we are seeing and the opportunity lying in front of us.
Okay, that's it from my side. Thank you so much.
Welcome.
Thank you. The next question is from Dipen Parekh, who's an individual investor. Please go ahead. Dipen Parekh, you may go ahead. There seems to be no response from the line of Mr. Dipen Parekh. We'll move to the next question. The next question is from Samarth Shah, who's an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yeah, you are audible, sir.
Yeah, first of all, I'd like to congratulate the management for giving a spectacular result. I've been an individual investor in this company since the last three and a half years. So I'm very thankful to you all for creating abundant wealth. I have a couple of questions. Firstly, I wanted to know the breakup of coal and ash handling. Like, how much percentage of revenue goes for coal handling, and what is the percentage for ash handling?
Because most of our logistics is done two ways, we are not able to exactly break the exact revenue from each of this. But we are working on that. Hopefully, from maybe one or two quarters down the line, we'll be able to separately segment this also.
Okay.
Because logistics is being cross-utilized.
Right, right. Because in one of the filings, you had mentioned that you are more trying to increase your dependency on ash handling and slightly reduce the coal handling. Is that right? Yes. Or?
Yeah, you're right.
Okay, fine. And one more thing, in the last investor PPT, the number of daily tons per day was 50,000. Now it has been increased to 70,000 metric tons per day. So I'd like to know whether the same kind of growth can be expected in the coming quarters and the years, or it will be like stable. Because H2, we were supposed to do like two and a half times of H1. Can we expect a similar kind of growth trajectory in the coming quarters?
Yeah, I think next quarter we'll be able to achieve this kind of numbers, because we have already scaled up to the 70,000 tons per day. But I'm not sure if this will be, the number will keep growing from here. So, okay. Yes, we'll be able to achieve this.
Yeah, and one more question. In your investor PPT, you have mentioned the states in which current ash handling is going on. It is roughly around 10 to 12 states. And you had also mentioned that you were going to add like 10 new states. How much penetration can we expect in the Q4, like from 12 to how many number of states can we enter in the coming quarters, like in say next 1 year?
See, we'll be covering majority of the state in another 6 months' time, not okay. This quarter alone. Currently, we have in this quarter also we have started two new states, and already confirmed order is there in another two new states in this quarter. And out of the total states in India, few states do not have a thermal power plant. So anyway, we cannot touch that states, especially in the northeast. But we'll be covering the majority, almost all the states in India in another 6 months.
Right. Thank you, sir. And that's it from my side. Wish you all the best in the coming quarters and coming years. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Deepen Parekh, who's an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Is my voice is clear?
Yeah, it is clear. So go ahead, please.
Sure. Thank you. So almost all the questions have been asked, but I just to know whether we are working anywhere for the green hydrogen ecosystem, like many big corporates are about to start their production for green hydrogen things, and do we have any kind of planning future to supply materials, electrolyzers or anything, and
okay,
be a part of
this? Green hydrogen, sir.
Yes, sir. Anything? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from Jairaj Jain from JJ Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for the opportunity. So my first question would be like, can you double?
Your voice is very feeble. Can you be a bit louder, please?
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yeah, it's, yeah, if you can make.
Am I audible?
Yeah, it is audible now, sir.
Okay. Thank you. So, can you elaborate on the strategic rationale, like you can say about behind the acquisition of around 3,000 EVs from Gensol, and how will the company position in the electric vehicle ecosystem?
Like we have told multiple times on the call today, that it is a long-term ride operation lease where we have acquired the vehicle from Gensol and giving it to Blue Smart. As a company, we are a B2B operating company, so this is also a B2B transaction. This is waiting for regulatory and finance approval. Once this is done, we'll be ready to operate these vehicles, sir.
Okay, thank you. And if you would be knowing that the budget would be coming soon, so are there chances of any upcoming regulatory changes or policies in the power or mobility sector that might impact your business operation?
No, sir. Nothing will impact us, sir.
Okay.
We are only a fleet operator.
Okay. Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to participants that you may press star and one to join the question queue. Next question is from Priya Jain from Green Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes, please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Firstly, very congratulations for good sets of number. So my question is, actually, I just wanted to understand how does RISC plan to mitigate risks associated with coal procurement and ash disposal, given the environmental challenges?
So we are only helping the thermal power plants achieve the environmental compliances. By removing the ash from the thermal power plant, we are helping them to reduce the legacy ash, and the ash which they generated is being disposed in an environmentally safe manner. So we are only an environment compliant company for them.
Okay. So I have one more question. Like, could you shed some light on the competitive landscape in the green mobility segment and how RISC green mobility differentiate that?
Yeah, currently we are a B2B segment. Our major competitors would be Lithium and Snappy and Ecos Mobility. They operate also B2B for B2B customers in electric vehicles in different states.
Also, just wanted to understand that are there any upcoming regulatory challenges or changes or policies in the power or mobility sector that might impact your business operation?
No, we are only a fleet operator, so we don't see any regulatory challenge for this.
I have one more question. Like, how does RISC industry plan to balance growth in its diverse business segments while maintaining a strong focus on sustainability?
So I think all our businesses are focused on sustainability. If you look at electric vehicles, ash handling, etc. So, and all these businesses are growing independently. So I think that the growth is going to happen continuously.
Okay, thank you, sir. That's fair enough. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question is from Vimox from Goyam Labdi FinTech. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you for the opportunity. So first of all, congratulations for the management for presenting the great set of numbers. So I have a question that as I can see, there are majorly four businesses, right? And as you mentioned that you will be less focusing on the power trading business, right? So is this good to assume that we can remove that business going ahead? And I can also see that there is very less number of interest in the refrigerated gas business as well, right? So how is it like for these two? I think we are majorly focused on ash and coal handling and this green EV B2B business.
Yes, our focus is majorly on ash and coal handling and green mobility. Other businesses are going on, but the growth for them are very limited. Power trading is a very low margin business, so we have not been focusing much on that. Refrigerant gas is also a very limited market, so the growth is very limited in that.
Okay, so my next question is like, you mentioned that you are majorly in the logistics segment, right? So is it like, are we exploring any other good businesses in the same segment where we move the things from point A to point B?
We are not looking at anything like that, sir.
Okay. Yeah, that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from Rahil Kothari from Essential Research Partners. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. Sir, one of the my question is, what is the current order book in coal and ash handling business? And second one is, one of our earlier control, you said the growth of coal and ash handling business, we will be growing 30-40% CAGR for next few years. So do we still hold the that growth guidance?
Yes, we are still holding to that growth. And currently the on the order book side, we have not reported the order book in the to the exchanges. So yes, we have a very strong order book in hand, sir.
Okay, sir. And sir, last question is my sir, what is the next few years 25-26 around guidance, growth guidance?
Yeah, I think we are growing at the same pace what we have mentioned earlier, and we are confident of achieving that, sir.
Okay, sir. And, sir, one last question. Sir, revenue from the top three or top five customer in terms of total revenue, it was 70% in FY25 annual report.
Sorry?
Sir, revenue from top three or top five customer in terms of total revenue, it was 70% for FY24 annual report.
No, sir. You have to stretch the revenue.
Yes, sir. Revenue. In annual report is mentioned.
Even last year. Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes. Current year, the revenue will be very diversified, sir.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much, sir.
Welcome.
Thank you. Next question is from Komal Iyer from NVG Investments. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Could you explain your rationale for supplying the power wind projects for Torrent Power? I mean, what is the rationale of getting into that business? That because that does not sync with any of your other businesses.
So it is an opportunity we got for the renewable wind energy business. That's why we set up a separate subsidiary under which we are trying to do this business. We see the opportunity in renewable energy is going to be very large. So we are working on this, and we got a good partner who can, technical partner who can help us grow this business.
But you would just be doing the part of transportation, or you'll be working as an EPC for his wind power project?
No, we'll be only supplying the, we'll be the OEM supplier to the turbine.
Only the OEM supplier. So it will be a kind of trading business from you, from where you will be procuring the equipment and then supplying to Torrent Power, transporting to Torrent Power, right?
Yes.
Okay. And what kind of return are you expecting in this kind of business?
Maybe a gross margin of roughly about 8-9%.
Okay. Fine. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Next question is from Rohit Kumar, who is an individual investor. Please go ahead. Rohit Kumar, you may go ahead with the question.
I can't hear, sir.
Rohit Kumar, there seems to be no response from Rohit Kumar. We'll move to the next question. Next question is from Krishna Chaudhary, who's an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the opportunity again. Sir, I have a question regarding the trade receivables, sir. Like in the previous quarter.
I can't hear you, sir. Can you be a bit louder, please, sir?
Yes, sir. I have a question regarding the trade receivables, sir.
In the previous quarter, there had been a considerable jump in the trade receivables. So, understand because of the increase in revenues. But can you give some highlights regarding what is the cash conversion cycle for the this revenue?
Earlier also, I had explained this receivable to collection cycle. Any billing for a particular month, certification and other thing happens takes around 20 days. After that, again a checking process and if some of the billing process finalization happens, which takes 7 to 8 days. Then the collections comes in 30 days, some takes 60 days. Some of the collections take 65 to 70 days. Anywhere between the 90 to 97 days is the current collection revenue to collection side.
Okay, sir. And one more question, sir. You have mentioned that you have a segment of solar power also. So what do we do in that? Like we have minimal revenues from that, and what is the future outlook you have on this segment, sir?
So there's only one solar power plant which we've been having for many years, where the PPA is signed with the DISCOM. So we are not planning to add anything over there, sir.
Okay, sir. And this would remain constant, this revenue that we are currently getting would be similar line, sir?
Can you expect? We have a PPA for many years, so another 12 years PPA is pending, so this revenue will keep coming for the next 12 years.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you for addressing my question, sir.
Welcome, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from Aman Singh Sahat Singh Jani from Profitgate Capital Services. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Am I audible?
Yeah, you're audible, sir. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. So congrats on good set of numbers. Actually, I joined call a bit later. You can skip to answer the question. I'll read the transcript. So I was trying to figure out a little more about the deal that has been with Bensol Engineering regarding the EV. So it was already leasing so it was already leasing to Blue Smart, and now we have bought the EVs and we lease to Blue Smart. So how are we making this transaction worthwhile for the company? I wanted to understand it on it.
So for us, it is a very clear long-term dry operational lease, sir. And we have acquired the vehicle from Bensol, and we'll be giving it to Blue Smart only. So for us, it will be a monthly payment of lease rental for these vehicles. And it will be responsibility of Blue Smart to operate and run these vehicles and acquire customers also. There is still a financial and regulatory approval pending from the lenders. Once that approval is done, this revenue will start kicking into our books from next quarter onwards, sir.
So, but before this deal, Bensol was already leasing some of its vehicle to Blue directly. Now they are routing this through us, through our company. So wanted to understand the rationale for not directly leasing, because the promoter for both the Blue Smart and Bensol is same, right? Similar promoter group. So why not lease them directly and route it through us? What will be the ROIs or ROEs that they'll make in this project, right?
So we are not sure about their understanding, but yes, we will have a very substantial ROE for these. Once the financial and regulatory approval comes, there will be substantial returns for us. And we being a B2B player, for us, we'll be encouraging more and more of these opportunities where we can acquire vehicles and give it to B2C operators so that our income, our revenues are fixed and we don't lose or burn money.
So these vehicles are already running, the 3,000 vehicles are already running on the road?
Yes, they're already running on the road, sir.
So once all the financial and regulatory approvals are in place, what would be, so we lease it directly to Blue Smart. What is the revenue that we can recognize in the first month of full leasing or first quarter of full leasing to Blue Smart?
Only after the financial approval and interest rate, etc., we'll be able to determine that, sir.
No, but we would have some revenue assumption, right? Before making the deal. I understand that interest rate would be variable, but some revenue assumption, revenue guidance would be helpful.
Yeah, I mean, we cannot give that today. Once the transaction is closed, we'll make this public, sir.
Sure, sir. Thank you so much.
Welcome, sir.
Thank you very much. That was the last question in queue. I would now like to hand the conference back to Ms. Sameeksha Ramteke for closing comments.
Thank you, everyone, for joining the conference of Rivik Industries Limited. If you have any queries, you can write to us at research@kaynadvisors.com. Once again, thank you for joining the call. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Kaynadvisors Advisors, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect your lines.